No, I figured it was that.
To pick up where we left off last time, which is a topic that we, parenthetically, which is a topic that we had discussed both by way of introduction, as well as when we discussed the sugya of Meges Gaiz. What is the status of a woman's neder from the time she makes it until the time her husband or her father cancels it? So that neder, l'chol adeot, is in full force. She is bound by that neder. The question is,
even though no one has confirmed that she's still
right. Right. The question is, what is the status of her breaking that neder during that period? She takes a neder. Let's imagine this. She takes a neder that she's going to give $100 to tzedakah within 30 days. Did she break the neder the day she made the neder?
You pick a very unusual case. I very deliberately chose this case.
She
didn't fulfill it.
She hasn't broken it.
Right. Say that one more time. What is the neder she made?
On Monday morning, she makes a neder to give $100 to tzedakah within 30 days. Mm-hmm. On Monday, has she violated the neder?
No.
On Monday afternoon, her husband hears about this, hits the roof, and is made for the neder. Does she owe $100? Because before the neder came full term, the husband canceled it, and now she's off the hook.
Why would you? Maybe.
No, I was saying, well, I imagine.
If she takes a neder that she's going to give. If she takes a neder that she's not going to eat cheese ever again, makes that on Monday morning at 9 a.m. At noon, she can't stand it anymore. She eats a piece of cheese. At 3 in the afternoon, her husband's mayfair. What is the status of her violation of her neder?
She violated it. The question is in between.
The question is she liable to punishment? Or is the husband, is the father of the husband's hafara canceling also the neder
retroactively,
and meaning that she's not now liable to punishment? So a woman who violates her neder and then her husband or father afterward are mayfair, should be chayev malchus. She should get whipped. But until the hafara, the neder is a full neder. Now we see this even in the Rambam. When the Rambam in Perek Bet says, Perek Yud Gimel gives the different languages of hafara. Remember, there's no specific nusach of a hafara. Right? It's not like there's a set formula that he has to say to be mayfair. Right? But if he were to, the Rambam says, Im Amarla, I if she shetaduri. She makes a neder. And he says about it, I do not want for you to make a neder.
In the future.
Well, it sounds like in the future. Meaning, what is he meaning to say?
I
want to be mayfair. But he says it in this weird kind of way, it is not my wish that you should take a neder. What would you think? That is a proper hafara or an invalid hafara? Why?
Because I wish gives her still the right to decide. I wish doesn't.
Well, if she's had his wish.
No. I don't want you to make a neder.
I don't think that it's an acceptable language hafara.
No. Why? What's wrong with the.
Which neder?
Well, it's a suit, and she says, oh, honey, I made a neder. Never eat cheese again. So he says, I don't want you to make a neder. Yeah. The neder already exists. What he wants for the future, even though in the context it might be clear that he's talking about this previous cheese neder,
Because he used the future tense.
Right. If he says, Ein kan neder. Also, Hare ze lo hefer, says the Rambam. Wa ein kan neder. Yesh kan neder. Vodech. She made a neder. He's entitled to be mefer. But the language of the hafara has to
recognize
that this is, in fact, a neder. And if the language of the hafara somehow implies there is no neder, it's factually incorrect. And therefore, yeah, there's a machlokas between the Rosh and the Rambam, and then there's a machlokas about exactly what the Rambam means. But essentially, the Rambam says, if she eats the cheese, if she violates her neder, and then the husband is mayfair, so it seems that the Rambam says that she does not get milk, that the hafara is enough to even get her off the hook retroactively for having violated the neder.
Unless you say that she was over on the nether before that.
No, I mean, in the Torah, it's not clear that she was over on the nether. There's no, it doesn't have to be that she was over. Maybe she wasn't, maybe she wasn't.
Also, Sichar does have to mean sort of, does have to be like...
That it's cancelled.
It's canceled. She doesn't view it as a...
So the Rambam says that she's off the hook for the Malkus, and it seems that the Rosh would say that no. In other words, she's off the hook from here on out, but if she violated the neder before the hafara, she would be chayimit. And this is a machlokas aposkim in terms of what's the situation. Okay, back to our Gemara. We're here on Ayin Gimel Omud. No, I'm sorry, Ayin Bet Omud Bet. The Mishnah had said that Derech Talmidei Chachamim Ad Shelo Haita Bita Yotzeit Mietzlo Omer La Kol Nedarim Shnedaret B'toch Beiti Harei Hein Mufarin. Yeah. I'm just reviewing. And the question is, how can you issue a kind of blanket neder for things? A blanket hafara. So the Gemara keeps going back and forth trying to figure out, is Shmia Ma'akev or not? The pashtus and the posuk is what? Yeah, that he has to hear the nedarim that he hears, he can be, but if he doesn't hear it, v'shama isha. So the Gemara keeps presenting these different sources that seem to imply maybe not, maybe it's lav dafka, maybe he doesn't need to hear it. And if he doesn't need to hear it, so maybe he can press the magic wand, wave the magic wand, and cancel any nedarim that he comes home and works as any nedarim you made today are canceled. It doesn't even know what they were. So the Gemara seems to keep knocking down this Havamina, explaining the circumstances that we've already seen four or five different Toshmas, possibilities, scenarios to consider, right? Each time the Gemara knocks it down by saying, no, that's not exactly what it means. It means that he is encouraging her to tell him the Nadarim, or he's putting her on warning not to make Nadarim. But in fact, in order to actually be Mayfair, he would have to know the content, have to have heard the content of the Nadarim. So now this next case that the Gemara...
We said before the Rambam, he doesn't interested in making any more nedarim. He says in the future, so that's also meaningless.
Well, no. In other words, in the context of the Rambam, that's a question of she tells him she made a neder, and he's mayfair. But the language of the hafara about this neder, which she had previously made and about which he has heard, is a problematic formulation, because it makes it seem like the neder does not yet. In fact, it does.
You can't have like a situation that this woman is OCD about her cheese, right? And like every 2 days she makes another cheese. He gets tired of doing that for all the time. So just now on.
Any cheese net there is.
Is void.
Yes, so that seems to be Talui in our Sugya, right? If he doesn't need to hear it in advance, so he could put a standing order that that all cheese nedarim, all cheese related nedarim are automatically mufa. But if in fact his right to be mefir is dependent upon having heard a neder, even though he knows this wife of mine every day she's making a cheese neder. I don't know how we got onto the topic of cheese. We actually had Bisari tonight. But, you know, so... Oh, we had leftover. That's, yeah. Shabbos leftovers, not Shavuos leftovers. So, Ha'omer Lapatropos, the second to last thin line. Tashma. Ha'omer Lapatropos... Kol nedarim shenoderet ishti mikan v'ad she'avom mimakom ploni hafer. He's leaving the apotropos, the agent in charge of his affairs while he's away. So he says, well, as long as I'm gone, any nedarim my wife makes, you are my shaliach to be mefer them. V'hafer la.
When he says
"ad yeah, in other words, I'm appointing you as my shaliach until I get back. So Talmud Lomar Isha Ikimenu v'Isha Yiferenu. So how can you make a an apotropos for? How can you make a shaliach for hafaras nedarim when the Torah says the husband has to hear it and the husband has to cancel it?
Yeah, but we said last week that that's not a good case because you can make an apotropos.
Well, you can make a shaliach for a lot of things. Generally, we say shlucho shel adam kemoto, but not for everything. So,
I have a question also. If he does make the shaliach, does he step into his shoes, like also that the shaliach has to hear it?
Oh, so bidu. Well, so this is exactly the point. In other words, if we want to say that the shaliach doesn't need to hear it, so then that seems like a raya that lav dafka, that the shmiya is not makif. Right? Divrei Rabbi Yoshiyahu. Omar lo Rabbi Yonatan, Matzinu b'chol haTorah kula shlucho shel adam kamoto.
It's interesting phrase.
Why?
No, it's just not a pasuk. B'chol
Torah kula doesn't. Dafka doesn't. What is it? What phrase? What phrase does the Torah use when it wants to quote a pasuk? Dichtiv or Talmud Lomar. In other words, Talmud Lomar means Torah Shebichtav, and Matzinu b'chol haTorah kula means Torah Shebal Peh. Torah as a synonym for the greater halachic system. What? I'm not sure this is true, and I will challenge you to look it up. Did Chazal call what we call the Torah, meaning the five books of Moses, did they call it the Torah? Is the word Torah used, you know, as a term, as the title of that book? So when we talk about Torah Tziva Lanu Moshe, there, Torah is a synonym for the halacha.
They don't have any, like, ketubah Torah, the ketubah Torah Techa, whatever. I mean, certainly, and, like, I'm thinking of, like, in Rosh Hashanah, something like that. It definitely mentions...
Seder, that was not composed by Chazal.
The
Mivne was, but not the specific.
But everywhere that I can think of.
I'm sure there are examples, but generally speaking, Torah is used not as like the title of that book, the Old Testament. It's a synonym for the larger system.
I know that Safraya in his Perkevot discusses it when the word Torah is used, but he uses it in a much even more broader context, whether it means learning Torah, keeping all the mitzvot,
right.
Whatever.
But it's not used
like
to refer to.
Torah, blah, 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 right, it's right. Not specifically referring to the Torah.
Torat Moshe. Zichru Torat Moshe Avdi. It's an interesting point, but here obviously the word Talmud Lomar means. Right, but.
So that's just the five books of Moses. I mean, it's everything.
Right, it's the. Right, but the title of the book, of the scroll, I mean, it's not clear that Chazal. The Torah itself doesn't have the convention that a book has a title or that chapters have numbers, right? These are much later conventions, right? Or the Torah itself doesn't have any of those kind of ancillary characteristics, titles, chapter numbers, chapter headings. Well, the parashiot, we call the parashiot, those are nicknames that were given, you know, to each week's thing after the parashiot were divvied up into different weekly bites. But the Torah itself doesn't have, I mean, think about it, doesn't have a title, doesn't have a title page, it doesn't have, these are all later conventions of publishing. But, you know, and Chazal like had nicknames for the different books, but they were nicknames. They weren't like we think of titles, right? This is, you know, if you have always look at the Netziv in the Mavo of the Netziv to each Sefer, he talks about, you know, the theme of the book, right? The theme of each Sefer. It's a literary approach. I mean, generally speaking, the Netziv had a what we think of today as the characteristics of a literary approach to reading Tanakh.
It's in the fact that the Seder of five books, where does that come from?
So that's in the, that's Chazal had this idea there. Chamisha Chumshe Torah, and in this week's Parsha, maybe Vayivin Soharon is a Sefer Bifnei Atzmo, you know, whatever they meant by that, but the and in fact the way the Torah scrolls are ritually written, so each book begins with a new, it's graphically set off, but the Torah does, but the Chazal did have this idea that there are Chamisha Chumshe Torah and each Chumash has its own kind of integrity, but the Netziv in some ways very similar to the Ramban. The Ramban was really way ahead of his time. Compare, for example, the Netziv in his Hakdama to Shmot and the Ramban to his Hakdama to Shmot. They're each trying to figure out, from a literary perspective, the Book of Shmot is problematic. Is poses a challenge to the reader. What is this book about? Right? It's, you know, an editor might have said, well, look, in other words, the first number of chapters talk about, you know, the continuation of the story of Joseph's family, Yaakov's family. Maybe the book should have begun back in what? Vayeshev. And then gone up until around Perek Yud Bet, when they go out. Or maybe it should have gone up to Perek Tet Vav for Kriyat Yamsuf. And then after that begins the desert experience. Right? What, in other words, the book gets nishta here, nishta there. Right? So what holds the book together? Why is all this Mishkan stuff there together with the story of Yitzhak Mitzrayim, right? So they each give an answer to explain how it holds together. They give different answers. right? And but each of them are motivated by the same question. We've gotten off track. Ah, so the pasuk. Yeah, so when it says matzino b'chol haTorah kula, it means throughout the whole halachic system, shlucho shel adam kamoto, right? Shlucho shel adam kamoto. Vafilu. Wait, I'm sorry, I lost my place. Ah, Vafilu Rabbi Yeshaya, right? Who said that it's a pasuk, right? That he has to do it. So how does he? No, there's a machlokas here. The pasuk seems to say you can't make somebody a shaliach for hafaras nadarim, right? And then b'chol haTorah kula we have an idea of shlucho shel adam kamoto, right? So which one is it? So Rabbi Yeshayahu says, "Enochinami." I agree with the principle of shlucho shel adam kamoto. However, this is an exception to the rule because of the gzeirat hakatuva of isha yikamena v'isha yefrena.
It's a bit of a stretch.
Why?
Because a lot of psukim have, like, you know, with a get and with a, you know, yeah, the word something saying that the person has to do it. I mean, it's not like any other. I imagine if you
so
most of the cases you would talk
yafet,
about.
Yafet. The posuk says v'natan biyada for a get. Right? What does that sound like?
He has to do it.
That he, the husband, has to put it into her hand. So shlichim should not work. But in fact, we know that they do. So how is nesinos haget, which we're allowed to do through a shaliach, different? No, but by kedushin you don't have. By kedushin ki yikoch ish isha yafeh, and you're allowed to do it through. You're allowed to do it through a shaliach. How is gittin in kedushin, where you could also say but there's a gzeiros hakosev? Why do those we allow shlucho shel adam kamoto, but for hafaras nadarim, v'shama isha, why is that? Why do we say you don't allow gzeiros hakosev? Oh, so what's the difference?
Because you can deliver something, but you can hear for someone else. That's not.
So what's the essential difference between the act of hearing and the act of netino and the act of kicho?
There's a physical. Process happening versus something going on in your
head. What does that remind you of? Another sugya we've learned a few times in different ways?
Kavana and the
way in which Shmiya is essentially different than other acts? Oh, okay. It's true. There's always that shiloh, but it can be Yotzei, the Megillah, over the radio or over the TV. No, the sugya we've learned a number of times of mitzvah bo bi'avera, lulav agozel. If I steal your lulav, I can't be Yotzei with it. I can't be Yotzei with it on the first day because of lochem, that you need it. It needs to be your personal property. So what about on the subsequent days where there's no requirement of lochem? There's a mitzvah habo bi'aveira. I can't fulfill a mitzvah, but if I steal a shofar, it can be yotze. Because you can steal a shofar, but the shofar, while an essential ingredient of producing the mitzvah, is functional. It's not essential. It just happens to be that it's the sine qua non by which you have to produce the coal. The kol einan exilat. You can't steal a sound. Ah, don't tell the copyright lawyers. You can't steal the sound. It's a physical, ephemeral type of thing.
Does the Gzeirat HaKetuv refer to the fact that the word Isha appears twice, or just the pasuk as it is?
No. Why?
In other words, what's the point? In other words, most things have a pasuk. So what is the Gzeirat HaKetuv?
I mean, it's true that the pasuk Isha, her husband, Yikimenu v'Isha, her husband, can be Mayfair. But
you could say the pasuk.
It's interesting. The pasuk that's quoted here is Gzeiros HaKosev. It's something of a misquote. Which part of the pasuk should be quoted here? No, vishama isha. The word yifrena is here.
Well, maybe it's just giving us the head.
Say it here, but no, the second part is vishama isha v'isha yifrena. They should have done it, you know, with the ellipses. The fact that it can be mekim is irrelevant for our conversation when we're talking about afara. It should be vishama isha dot 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 v'isha yifrena. That he has to hear it. In order for him to hear it, he has to. In order for him to be made for, he has to have heard it.
No, but what I'm asking is, we said the reason why this might be an exception to the normal rule of a shaliach is they shouldn't gzeir haketubah. So I'm asking, what makes this pasuk any more? In other words, there are other halachos that you can't, that also come from a pasuk, so we can use a shaliach.
So that's exactly what David just said.
I understand. So
because it has something to do with the essential difference of Shmia, right? And what is that? Summarize. What's the essential difference between Shmia on one hand, where we say Shlucho Shel Adam Eino Kamoto, versus Gittin or?
You can't know. That's the whole argument here, is whether Shmia is the absolute most essential ingredient in being able to be Shmia.
Seder and Netina, giving over the get, is the absolutely essential ingredient in divorce. So why what's the essential difference between them?
Because you can actually physically do it versus it's something in the ether that you
know. No, why can't the apotropos hear?
You can say you can say when you're giving it, when you're you know, if a husband gives a shaliach a get, so the shaliach is literally an extension, is delivering the physical object, but you can't hear for someone else.
Cool.
It's just not possible to do that. You can tell someone else, but you can't hear for them.
What's the other example, by the way, of something you can't appoint a shaliach for?
Anything. I mean, you're davening.
I can make you my shaliach to say kiddush.
But not for
Shmon Esrei. Not exactly. We have Shomei, we do have the idea of Shomei Akone.
Yeah, you couldn't have somebody shake Lula for.
You couldn't have somebody shake Lula for you. You couldn't have somebody put. I'm busy tomorrow. Could you put Tefillin on for me tomorrow? Doesn't work. Right? Doesn't work. Right?
But it's interesting because even in the case of the get, so we're saying in all of these, there's an essential act. That's the essence of the message.
Okay, so you're not.
The difference is that you have the it's not like a Hepzagabra thing, but sort of in that same general context of you have a task that needs to be fulfilled.
Yeah.
And the task is on the not the subject but the object. In other words, you have the get needs to be delivered.
But it's not just that the get needs to be delivered. Because the get needs to be delivered by him. The husband has to actively deliver the get.
The husband needs to facilitate the delivery of the get. But he can't. He could. The pen writes the get. Right? He has to write it, but the pen writes it.
He doesn't. There's no requirement that he has to write it. He makes a shaliach.
We're saying the idea is he would never say that he couldn't use a pen.
Right.
Because the main thing is he has to be the one to make sure it's written. That's the goal.
Right.
So that's not the goal with Lula.
Okay, well, let's come back to this. I think you're dancing around it. You know, there's a much more precise chakira between the two. But let's just finish the lines of the Gemara. So, in other words, Rabbi Yoshiyahu, who says there's a gzeiras hakosav, it's not, he doesn't deny the principle of shlucho shel adam kamoso. He just says, in this particular case, there's a gzeiras hakosav. Don't ask me why. This is a gzeiras hakosav, but v'natan biyada is not a gzeiras hakosav, and ki yikach isha is not an exception. In this case, v'shama isha, v'isha yifareno, is a gzeiras hakosav that excludes hafaras nedarim from the realm of shlichus. So you can't go away and leave your shliach to be mayfair in your absence.
Here's an interesting distinction. What if the husband heard it? Could he have a shliach?
The husband heard it and he tells the shliach in an hour be mayfair.
Yeah, I'm on my way to work and just go back and mayfair because you have to tell the way. That's the whole point.
It doesn't have to be in front of the wife. The wife doesn't even have to know that the husband remains fair. Yeah. But in a chinami, like as a theoretical case, in that case, could you tell the husband? The husband.
Maybe he got mute. I don't know. He went to know. Can you hear? Whatever.
So the husband. Well, that's the next sugi, actually. What about a deaf husband? What about a, can he be mefer bal? Can he be mefer bechtav? Well, that's exactly the question that the Gemara is going to ask. How does a deaf husband be mefer his wife's nedarim if he can't hear it? She makes a neder. So the husband, in a normal case, she makes a neder in the morning. The husband is right there. He hears it. He has until the end of the day to make up his mind. So he can tell the shaliach, if I'm not back by lunch, you'll be made for the neder. Even though he could be made for it wherever he is.
I don't know.
Maybe
next week we'll clarify what exactly involved in it.
I don't know.
But it's certainly less problematic.
Here's a hypothetical case. She makes a neder at 9 o'clock in the morning that I will give $100 to the charity auction that I'm going to at 4 p.m. So the husband can be made for it. The husband goes to work. He can be made for it at his desk in the office at noon. The wife won't know. What happens when she gives that $100?
That's not a problem.
What happens if she doesn't give the $100?
Right. No, so if she doesn't give the $100, he had been...
Right,
but
she doesn't know
there was no problem. It's sure for her to do it. Right.
Well, insofar as the money is really her husband's...
That would be probably even if she didn't make it.
Right. Anyway, so the Gemara says, even Rabbi Yoshiyahu, who agrees with the principle of Shluchos Shel Adam Kamoto, in principle, Rabbi Yoshiyahu says, the Shaliach could be Mayfair, except for the presence of this particular Gzeres HaKosuf. So, Chulei Alma, Shlucho Shalom, Kamoto. Vahalo Shamalei. Hachanami da Amalei. Lachi Shamana Mufala. Lachi Shama Leferla. Husavar Dilma Mitridna. It's the same answer that we had in the previous cases. What do you need this for? When the husband comes back from his trip, he'll say, did you make any nedarim? Tell me the nedarim you made. And he can cancel them then.
So
what's the answer? Why doesn't he do that? Because he's afraid of this, the other day he returns, that he'll be all discombobulated. And he won't be able to write, because he works for Mendel, and it's always a pain to fill out those reports. So maybe that's why. But chinami. So he can't if without. So it sounds like what? That shmiya is required. So this whole idea of the limits of the shaliach. As the Gemara wants to show that the husband can do hafara before his wife, before he hears the neder, that you can preemptively make a hafara. So the Ran asks, if the husband makes a shaliach, maybe the shaliach can only cancel it when the husband has heard it, your case. So there's no proof from this, one way or another, for a preemptive canceling. So the Ran here quotes the Tosfos, that the husband can't appoint a shaliach to do the hafara for the future. If the husband himself has not heard the neder, since he, the husband, didn't yet hear the neder at that point that he made the shliach, and therefore he isn't in a position. Right, so if the neder hasn't been made yet, or even if the neder has been made yet, but he personally hasn't heard it, then he's not in a position to be mefer it. And if he's not in a position to be mefer it, he can't appoint a shaliach. Because you can only appoint a shaliach to something that you yourself have authority over. Right. Because you can't make a shaliach to do something. If I'm in minus in the bank, and I make you a shaliach to take money out of my bank and pay David, it's an irrelevant shlichus, because I've appointed you to do something that I literally can't do because the money's not there. Right? Did you when I come back and say, did you pay David? And you say, well, I don't know, I went to the kaspomat. They said you're in minus. They won't let me have any money. Right? Did you fail your shlichus?
No.
No. It wasn't a valid appointment to begin with. Say, but in other words, at a certain point, even the kaspomat stops punching out the overdraft. So in other words, whenever he himself is unauthorized to do a hafara, he can't appoint a shaliach to do it. So this only explains the technicality of why a husband can't appoint a shaliach to do the hafara, but maybe what could he do? Why not make him a shaliach? I'm going away. I'm saying, look, maybe tomorrow, maybe the next day, my wife will make a neder. I want you to cancel it. I can't do that because I can't appoint you on shlichus on something that I don't yet have power over. But why not just make you a shaliach to hear the neder? I make you a shaliach to hear the neder, like I can make you a shaliach to hang my mezuzahs. Right? So why not say, I make you a shaliach to hear any of my wife's nadarim, just like I come home at the end of the day and say, honey, tell me your nadarim. You should say, Mrs. Honey, tell me the nadarim you made, and I will act in the place of your husband and cancel them. And then he's heard it. And just as if the husband had heard it and could cancel it, then the husband's shaliach had canceled. So why not do that? So Gzeret HaKatuv. So the Rosh says that the shmia of the shaliach isn't really a shmia, because it's not a shmia for the husband. A person can't, you can't make a shaliach, and here's the essential difference between shmiah on one hand versus netina taget or kiddushin ki yikach ish isha, because the Rosh says you can't make a shaliach for something passive. That's what I was looking for. That was the correct answer on the test. The difference between shmiah versus netina or kicha or anything else that you can appoint a shliach for, those are all active. Those are all ma'asim, acts.
Because
that's the difference between a chovat heftza and a chovat hagavra. My doorpost needs to have a mezuzah on it. If you hang it up for me, I fulfill the... My son's bris milah needs to be in place.
So I could say, as I said before, you could say the same thing about a get or even condition.
Correct.
So it's, those, that's the gavra, but not, it's not a...
No, but some of those aren't dinim in the... Those, we don't learn that those are... Even though you could read the posuk in a certain way, we say it's not a din in the gavra, it's a din in the... It's a din in the cheftza. V'natan biyada is describing the process that the piece of paper has to undergo.
Lekicha, kinyan, can be done through a shaliach. The transference of ownership of an object, and here I am not comparing women to objects, but the transfer of ownership of objects can be done through a shaliach, right? Because it's a din in the object.
So what else is tacit?
Right now, shmiya.
That's it.
Well, I don't know. We'll have to think about it.
Well, I know. It's when you give one case, it's hard to find that that's right. A good category if it's only that one.
Let's say you could say that he could make a shuliach to hear his wife and do hafara. Then does that mean that he's completely, the husband now has no more power to do this? It's only hands of the shuliach until the husband comes back. So that means if when the husband's still away, somebody comes and tells him, you know, your wife made this and this neder. He should not have the power.
Ah, well, that's, I don't know. In other words, when you make a shaliach, if I make you a shaliach to go, if Reuven makes Shimon a shaliach to go be Mekadesh Rochel, and the shaliach is taking his good sweet time, and Reuven gets the Rochel before the shaliach, and he's Mekadesh him her himself, she's Mekudeshet. And when Shimon gets there, it's too late. The shlichus is already included. I'm not sure that that's the case. When you make a shliach, I'm not sure that that means you. Yeah, you know, it's like when how do you computer guys do it? You know, you can remote control my computer, right? So there's a way that you can remote control my computer, and my keyboard is neutralized. But there's a way. I just had a problem with my computer, and they logged in from the outside, but I was still doing something, and they said, all right, stop touching your mouse, because they were trying to move it, right? So I'm not sure that you, when you make a shaliach, that you freeze out your rights in the meantime. If Enochinami, he hears about, he gets a message that she made a neder, he has the rights to cancel it before the...
Here's a passive one that works.
Or, this is a good question.
He's
Mekayim and the Shaliach is Mefer. Right? Which is it? Lechora, whichever one came first.
Which, if, when a woman can make have a shaliach to receive the get or receive the kiddushin.
Yeah.
Why is that not passive? How is that different than hearing? I mean, she has no mitzvah to receive a get any more than she has a get.
Because the act of Kabbalah is an act.
The act still of a passive act.
Well, here passive might not mean, and this is passive in the sense that one gives and one receives. But the act of receiving is an act. The act of accepting is an act. It's not...
She has to do something? She can. If it lands in her chatzer, it's good. She has to receive it. She has to receive it the same way as to hear it. It just has to happen in a way
A get is a different case. Because in a chinami, she is passive, but she doesn't have to really do anything because it can be thrown into her chatzer. And mi'ikara din, a woman can be divorced against her will, although we have a takana against that. But marriage and a shaliach there is just a shaliach lekabbalah, and kabbalah itself is a positive act, not a passive act. In other words, he can give it to her, he can throw it into her pocket, he can throw it into her chatzer, he can put it into her outstretched hand. But what if he's not even near her house or her pocket or her hand? Right? So her shaliach can be 10 miles away and he can put it into her hand, and that the shaliach's hand is a proxy for her reshut. Okay. But for kiddushin, so kiddushin, she has to willingly accept it. That's an act.
So not kiddushin, but gittin, right. I think, is
maybe... Say it, but for gittin, there the shaliach is acting just as a proxy space. Since it has to be put into her hand or her space...
Her hand or his ear. I'm not sure the difference in the end result between the two...
Okay, concepts. So it's a kasha on the rush. Look, the Ketos HaChoshen says that... he's actually, I think he's quoting the Tosfos Arid, that the reason why you can't make a shaliach for tefillin, put on tefillin for me. You can't make a shaliach to shake the lulav, because these are dinim in the gavra. They have to be performed with your body. So whenever a shaliach does the mitzvah with his own body, his mitzvah can't then be passed over to someone else. So the Tosfos Rid just agrees with the Rosh that here, so why is Shmiya different? It has to be done with your body because of the passivity of it. There's something inherent in Shmiya that's different. This raises the next question. The Gemara asks, Boy round the top of Ayin Gimel Amud Aleph, Boy Rama Barchama, Cheresh Mahu, Shiaferli Shto. So how can a deaf person, Cheresh sometimes means deaf and dumb, but here we're talking about somebody who's just deaf. So he can't, in all the cases of Hafara that we saw, it's a verbal Hafara. Right? But first, if Shmiya is Dafka, if he has to have heard it in order to be Mayfair, so how can he be Mayfair? So what? So tell me your intuition. What are the possibilities? Either an Achinami, a Cheresh can be married, but a Cheresh doesn't have the same rights over his wife's Nadarim because of the technicality. One of his handicaps is he's not allowed to be made for his wife's Nadarim.
Well, supposed to
or
like also, like,
what?
Yeah. Like,
yes. Or what's the other possibility?
That he can.
And therefore, Shmi is lav dafka.
Let's
say that, but Chazal didn't have that kind of idea. That's a modern.
A Cheresh who's getting married, a woman is coming, so the Baal can say, "All right, I'm conditionally the son of my wife."